Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I know that every one of us wants to be victorious. There's nobody that wants to be a loser or wants to quit or be behind. We all want to be victorious. And that other song, I like both of them. I had it on my heart and she sang it, so thank the Lord for that. She didn't have to sing it again. But give God the glory. And you'll be victorious. And He'll give you the victory. He will give you the victory if you'll just give God the glory. There's been many times in my life I said, God, if you'll just help me, I'll give you the glory. God, if you'll just get me through this, I'll be a walking testimony. You'll get the glory. Amen. Good to have all of you here. Marcel, it's good to have him. He's come all the way from Brazil to be here. And you thought you came a long ways. Let's welcome him from Brazil. Glad you're here. Hallelujah. Amen. Saw Brother Baker step in. Glad you're here from Leesville. And my aunt is by my mom. I don't know if you know this or not, but my mom married a Bagot, obviously. But did you know her sister, my Aunt Billy, also married a Bagot? See, you didn't know that. Arnold Bagot. And Miss Uncle Arnold, he's a wonderful man. And we're glad that my aunt is here this morning. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. I don't know if there's any other visitors. We just need more visitors. Hallelujah. But anyway, I have a Bible study to do. Is that okay? It's not a regular kind of thing I want to do this morning. It's a Bible study. And so you may want to grab some pen and paper. I want to teach you this morning from a passage found in Galatians. We'll read one verse in your hearing. You can stand with me and we'll read this verse. Wherefore then serveth the law? He's asking a question. And wherefore then serveth the law? It was added. It wasn't really ever about the law. It didn't start with the law. But the law was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The law was added until. Now, do you still want to live under the law? It was added to a promise. Then when Christ came, we don't need the law. But it was added until the seed should come to whom the promise was made and was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And that's what I want to talk about. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. I want to teach this morning about in the hand of a mediator. Say this with me. My life is in the hand of a mediator. One more time. My life is in the hand of a mediator. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Your life is really not totally in your hands. You will make some decisions along the way, but your life, your eternal life is in the hand of a mediator. And to mediate is to come between two parties that are at odds or at differences with each other and try to establish peace if you can through any medium that's possible. It may be through compromise. Then you may be like, okay, well, if you agree to this, then they'll agree to this. Okay? It may be through opening understanding. Well, what you don't understand about the situation is this. Oh, well, I didn't know. So the job of a mediator is to get harmony between two groups. It takes two. Say it takes two. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? It's in a marriage. It's in a father-son relationship. It's in a job and a boss it's everything has got to have harmony, or it's you have chaos and you have strife. And so this mediator is the one that goes between these two parties and actually is a friend to both, not the bosom buddy to both, but he actually works for both sides. He does not really work for himself. He works for both sides. And Moses was the first mediator. See, the law was what? Added, right? And so when the law was added, you needed a mediator. As long as it was just based on promises, we don't need a mediator. But now with the law, you need an attorney, you need a lawyer, you need a mediator, you need something to go between you and the one that's angry at you. As long as it was just promise, we didn't need that. And Jesus would become, and this is where we're going to go this morning, he would become the ultimate mediator because he was between God and man. He was both God and man. Now, for some of you, this may be old hack, but for me, I like to every once in a while refresh my mind about the importance of Jesus Christ. I really do. I need to really understand more than, he just saved my soul. That's good, but I want you to understand the significance of having this mediator. And we're going to discover in this lesson. Now listen close, because you're going to first disagree with me. The only way to talk to God is through a mediator. You can't talk to God without a mediator. You have to have a go-between. And I know we pray, dear God, I understand that. But if you don't have Jesus in between, him being God, you can't get to God. And that's why the Jews are blinded in part, is because they have no mediator. They have no go-between. They don't believe in the mediator. So they can't get to God. All right. So the fate between man and God is not in the hand of God. It's not even in your hand. It is in the hand of a mediator, because God in the Old Testament was a very angry God. He was angry at the fall of man. He was angry that Adam sinned and that Adam fell from the grace or the mercies of God, and he expelled him from the garden in his anger and in his wrath. And ever since then, up until grace came, God was angry with man. He was always saying, if you'll turn from your sins, I will heal the land. And so when Abraham came along, he was the first one that God spoke to about promise. Promise. Promise was a new thing. It was something that God would say to through the seed of Abraham, I will multiply, will come a mediator, and he will multiply his seed to be in numbers as the stars in heaven, as the sands of earth. And so a promise was given to Abraham, but the law was added through Moses. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand that we can't just have the promise without the law. Yeah, the law is important. It did not fulfill anything, but it was important. I'll show you the significance of the law. So I want to use Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. I want to read, and I'm going to get in and out of this verse or these chapters quite, so just stay with me. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So he's letting us know that no man can say, well, I'm justified by the law, because if you justify yourself in this area of the law, you will find you fail in that area of the law. And so justification, no man can justify himself by the law. No man can say, I'm better than you because I do this. But we find that justification only comes through faith, and the just shall walk by faith. And the law is not of faith. It's not of faith at all. It's thou shalt not. It takes no faith. The law requires zero faith. It requires doing it. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Remember, the promise was given to who? Abraham and his seed. Here we are left out of the promises of God. But we will find through Jesus Christ becoming a curse, though the promise now comes to us through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So all the Gentile nations were grafted in as the Jewish nation was cut off, and he grafted us in. He's going to bring them back. He's going to open their eyes up to see the mediator. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be But a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth unto it. In other words, when you agree on something and it becomes a covenant or an oath, then that's supposed to be immutable, supposed not to change. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not, and the seeds as of many. It wasn't a plural, wasn't plurality, it was singularity. He said, through the seed of Abraham would this promise come, and not to the seeds of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Jesus Christ was the seed of Abraham. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, before it was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years, which was after the promise was given, cannot disannul that it should be made a promise of none effect. What he is saying is that when God gave Abraham a promise, and it was 430 years later, the law came. But when the law came, it did not disannul the promise. It did not substitute the promise, but it added to the promise. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why do you keep serving the law? Why do you have the taste not, handle not, touch not? Why do you keep doing that? It was added, here you go. The reason you keep doing that is because you're the one that has the problem. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the hand of, ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. My. Angels ordained the word of God. Angels were the carriers. Now listen close, because I'm going to show you something here. Angels carries the word of the Lord. They don't change it. They don't twist it. They don't say, well, I think what y'all ought to do, if I had it my way. They just simply are ambassadors. And that's what an ambassador does. It just carries the word. And so these angels are ordained of God to carry God's word. And so many times it said, and the angel of the Lord said, and the angel spoke unto and said. So they are carriers of the word of God. And they would carry the word of God to Moses and give Moses word from God. So the word of God was ordained by angels. Okay? And many times, as it says, that, and the angel of the Lord said unto Abraham, he said unto Moses, the angel of the Lord carries the word of God. Now I want to show you in several passages of scriptures real quick to bear this out, because this is not something we teach or preach much about, is angels. Acts chapter 7, 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, or spoken of by angels, and have not kept it. Psalm 68 and 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. The law was given where? Mount Sinai. Hebrews 2 and 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast... See, it was ordained of God, and every transgression of disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So the promise was given first to Abraham, and then the law was added because of the transgressions of men. It was ordained by angels, and men could not keep it. In fact, angels didn't keep it. Nobody could keep the law. You see, the problem is we have a mind. And if you have a mind, you make your own choices. And God made man so much like him that he had his own mind. And so he started making his own choices. And so what the law, he said, okay, I gave you promise and you still live in unrighteous. So I'm going to add the law to show you how wicked you are. For the hardness of your heart did Moses write this. I'm going to let you know you don't know how wicked you are until I say, stop, don't. Until I start pointing my finger. And you know what? Then you start looking at yourself. Paul said, I had not known sin except by the law. That's why you need the law, to let you know you're a sinner. But once we find grace, the law goes away. Stay with me this morning. So angels delivered the ordained word of God to Moses. Moses was the mediator. Say that with me. Wake up, mediator. Right, he was the mediator. He was the go-between of Israel and God. So that God would tell Moses, tell the people. And the people would come back to Moses and say, tell God, take away the serpents. Tell God, we're sorry. Tell God, we don't have any water. Tell God, we don't. And Moses was like, oh, no, 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 no. He was the mediator. Now watch, he's the mediator between what the people said, and he was the mediator between. But he's getting kind of angry now. Mediators can't do that. That's the problem. Mediators can't do that. Mediators cannot get involved with either party. They have to be neutral. They have to be just a friend to this one and a friend to that one and say, I feel so sorry this happened to you. I really understand. It goes back to the other one. I see why you did that to them. I understand why you did that to them. Now, let's see how we can reconcile this. And so, mediator between God and man. And man, the Bible says, and God looked for a man to fill in the gap. He said he found none. So he said, lo, in the volume of the book, I come to take away the first covenant that I may establish the second. And since man could never come up to God, God decided to come down to man. Verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And what it's saying here is that God is on one side. A mediator, you got to have two. You can't mediate with one person. You got to have two people. And God is one of those beings, if you will. He's on one side. Now we have a mediator. Guess who's on the other side? Me and you. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Because he added it, is it against the promises of God? No. God forbid. For if there had been a law given that would have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there would have been a scripture that says, thou shalt live and never die, thou shalt have eternal peace, then we wouldn't need, but the law didn't do that. The law did not give life. It said, if you do them, you shall have life. So the law brought about death. That's why Paul said, I died. So the law brought about the death of Jesus Christ, and his spirit makes us alive. The letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. So the law will let you know you're a sinner, and it kills you. But the Spirit brings you back to life. Oh, I hope you're getting this concept this morning. Verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All have sinned, and it, because you have sinned, you are now eligible for the promises of God. If a man says he has no sin, he is a liar. That's what the book says. He's a liar, and you better be glad you have sinned. You better be glad you're a sinner, because if you wasn't a sinner, you couldn't get the promises of God. You'd have your own promises. But because you was a sinner, God said, I need to give them mercy. I need to give them grace. So we are all sinners. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up, unto the faith. Shut up unto the faith, which should afterward be revealed. The law held you back. The law was there to contain you. Again, the hardness of your heart. If the law wasn't there, you'd never stop at the end of the road. You would run the red light because you don't see anybody coming. If there wasn't a law to contain you, we are held back by the law. And through our disobedience, Paul said, when the law came, he said, it wrought about all manner of concupiscence or excessive desire in me. There's something inside of every one of you, and you can act humble if you want to, but you ain't gonna tell me what to do. You can act humble if you want to, but ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. You want to be your own boss. Everybody wants to be their own boss. And sometimes we reject good help because we don't want nobody to tell us what to do. But through our disobedience to the law, mercy and grace would come. Romans 11 and 30 says, "For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy." How did you get this mercy? Through their unbelief. You got mercy because of their unbelief. My. "Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also have obtained mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief." Every one of us will go through the stage of unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all of us. So it's actually a good thing that God found you a sinner. It's a good thing that somebody had to tell you about Jesus Christ and a man that died for your sin. If you didn't believe that, you would never be able to obtain mercy. You have to first pass through unbelief to get a belief. There's been many times I've told people, "I don't believe that." But then after they tell me, I'm like, "Wow, now I believe." But I first had to go through unbelief. And anytime you have unbelief, guess what comes with unbelief? Sin. And because I was a sinner, I needed his mercy and his grace. Verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster," wow, "to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith," not the law. A schoolmaster is anything that directs, and it directed us. The law directed us to Christ. It let us know you're a sinner. You need him. You're lost. You need a savior. You need a mediator. So how did it do? How did it prepare us? Brother, it prepared me by saying you are lost and dying and going to a devil's hell. And it opened up the way, you see, for me to say, "I need some help." Every time that there was an entrance of God, there was always a preparation for his entrance. Every time. You look, wherever God showed up, there was a preparation for his entrance. Even the angel prepared the way, right? Hail Mary, you know. John the Baptist prepared the way. And then Christ shows up. The law prepares the way because it lets you know that you're a sinner and that I need a mediator. I've got to face a righteous judge and I am guilty. So I need a mediator. Are you with me this morning?